The Bible tells us that true love suffers long and is kind and rejoices in truth. True love endures. Elizabeth Elliot has experienced great loss, but her message continues to focus on the love that triumphs in the face of evil. Welcome to Gateway to Joy.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, speaking again today about the vocation of motherhood. And I would hope that many women who are not mothers would find something very applicable to their own lives in these remarks, because I do believe that we're all meant to be spiritual mothers, if not mothers in the biological sense. It's perfectly clear that God does not give to all women the privilege of bearing children biologically, but He does call us to follow Him, and that calling is a vocation. In Paul's letter to the Ephesians, he prays that they may be able to comprehend with all saints how wide and long and deep and high is the love of Christ. Let's think a little bit about Mary's comprehension of the height of the love of Christ. She received a message from the angel Gabriel. Her eyes were on God. She offered herself up. She stood by the cross with her eyes uplifted, aware from the very beginning that this baby that she had cradled in her arms was also her God. Can you fathom that? I can't. This baby, this tiny, squalling, helpless, newborn baby, was also her God. Because you remember what she said when she was still pregnant, "My spirit hath rejoiced in God, my Savior." She was thrilled to find herself pregnant, although it was a great mystery and must have troubled her deeply that she had been impregnated by the Holy Spirit. And so when she went to visit her cousin Elizabeth, you remember that Elizabeth's baby jumped in the womb. God had alerted that tiny infant to the presence of His own Son in this woman named Mary. And so she says in her song of praise, "My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." Hers was a life of devotion to her Son, but it was also at the same time a life of devotion to her God. And you mothers, what does your devotion to your child include? Well, sleeplessness, for a start. You hardly have a night that you can sleep through, usually for a few weeks or months. And if your child is sick, sleeplessness again. Discouragement at your attempts to pacify the child, to discipline him, to train him. Bewilderment. What should I do? What's the right thing to do to get him to eat? Do I have to force him to eat? Anxieties as he grows up. What are the influences? In the neighborhood, in kindergarten, in the church nursery. You know, children can learn some very bad habits in the church nursery. And then as he becomes a teenager, and very soon, you know, he's going to be an adult, what direction will he take? Do you worry about that? Are you anxious in a world where jobs are very hard to come by? Will your son be able to support a wife? Can he ever get married? Perhaps he will feel that he can't because he can never get enough money to support a wife. And then think about supporting a child when the world is telling you that it's going to cost you $200,000 to bring a child up to teenage or something like that. I've forgotten exactly what the statistics are. Many things would tempt us to anxiety, wouldn't they? And I confess as a grandmother to being greatly tempted to be anxious for my grandson, Walter, who is now an adult. What will he do? What calling does he recognize? Where will God take him? What price will he have to pay? What suffering will he have to go through? Let's remember God isn't worried about anything. He is not worried about a thing. He knows the end from the beginning. He's already in the future, and the future is none of your business. Keep your eyes on the Savior. That's the vocation of a mother for her children. Mothers in Israel, mothers in the broadest sense, mothers in the church, mothers in the world, concerned for all people. That little child down the street whose mother is always away, that sick child in the hospital, that adult who desperately needs a mothering heart. Humanism has a very low roof, but Mary knew the height of the love of Christ. Do we know it? Humanism lacks the huge dimensions of prayer and worship and faith in someone other than the autonomous self. I can't think of a more bleak life than one in which I felt that I myself was autonomous, or that man was the center of the universe. I know that the center of the universe is God, the Creator, sufficient unto himself. Man is not sufficient unto himself, but when he thinks so, he's aiming at material ends. He regiments and mechanizes mankind because he has no belief in a supernatural destiny. Now let's think of the depth of the love of Christ. The height and depth and length and breadth of love. The depth. Love always means sacrifice. A going down into death in order to give life to the world, to one tiny person. Sacrifice in loving a husband. Sacrifice in loving your child when that child turns against you. Sacrifice in loving your neighbor who has made himself a nuisance. Sacrifice in loving a relative who has been estranged. Is marriage a perpetual honeymoon? All your needs met? Your feelings for that man always warm and comfortable? Of course not. You married him because you loved him. Now you have to love him because you married him. Mary is called the Mother of Sorrows. And you remember that her baby, Jesus, was only 8 days old when she and Joseph took him up to the temple for the purification. And old Simeon, that great old prophet, there in the temple, recognized who this child was, took him into his arms, and told Mary that his sword was going to pierce her soul. She didn't have any way of knowing in what form that sword would come, nor have you. But you can be sure that there will be many a sword pierce. Some beginning perhaps as you bend over the crib of a listless, dull-eyed child who was energetic and bright a few hours ago. And your heart is gripped with fear, helplessness. Can you imagine the pain that Mary knew as she watched her son suffer, even before the cross? Imagine watching the contradiction of sinners against him, the hatred, the sneering, the mocking, the arguments that his 3 years of public ministry entailed. What must it have done to Mary to watch him treated in that way? Can you put yourself in her place? Do you have a son that you could imagine being mocked and jeered at and sneered and misrepresented and hated? We women, with the gift of femininity, are meant to learn to suffer the sorrows of others, to feel in our own hearts the reality of sin. Am I speaking to someone whose husband is not a Christian? That's a sword in your soul, isn't it? Jesus knows about that. Jesus knows that man's heart. He also knows what he's going to do with that man and that heart. And he speaks to us wives simply, quietly. Keep a quiet heart. Be gentle. He may be won without a word being spoken. Doesn't say he will be. It says he may be. You can pin your hope on that. But your job is still the same, no matter what he does or doesn't do. It's to love him. Mary was not weeping in a heap at the foot of the cross. We find her standing, her eyes uplifted to the figure upon it. Even the horror of the final sword doesn't cause her to flinch from her faith and her courage, nor to forget that what is folly and failure to men is wisdom and redemption in the eyes of God. She knew the height. She who, when she cuddled her child, knew that it was also her God, so that her life of devotion to the work of her son was at the same time in itself a life of devotion to her Lord. She knew the height, she whose every action was a preparation for or a sharing in the work of redemption. We're talking here about cooperating with God. It's his job to redeem us by the power of his blood. We can add nothing to that. It is a finished work. It is a complete salvation, a perfect sacrifice. But he calls us to work with him, to cooperate in that redemptive work. And my emphasis these 2 weeks is to cooperate by being mothers, by mothering the world, sharing in that wonderful work. May God purify our hearts and correct our desires and make us such mothers.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Discipline, The Glad Surrender, and No Graven Image. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.